Welcome to Bevington Banter, the show where we can sound like we're arguing even when we all agree. I'm Cassidy, and together with my brother Cade and dad Randy, each week we discuss a selection of news stories, topics surrounding the culture, and matters of freedom and faith. Thanks for listening. Follow and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Share it, and if you like what you hear, rate it 5 stars on Apple and Spotify.
You should change it up on me. Usually we count down and then clap.
Yeah, you're right.
It really threw me off, but I'm really good on my feet. Keep me on my toes, so I'm nice and awake.
You know what? It's because your IQ is pretty good.
Debatable, but okay.
Well, at least it probably doesn't fall into the results of this study that shows that IQs are falling in the U.S. for the first time in history.
This is something that we experience on a daily basis talking to people on the phone in tech support.
You're like, it is true. A study?
I have,
you could have just asked
I have
me.
Analytics. I have actual statistics. Yes, it is. Yes. If I tell them one at a time, they're anecdotes. But 1,000 anecdotes is a statistic.
So this is, it was known that supposedly through history, IQ scores have increased 3 to 5 points per decade. And then there's this whole theory where they'll then stagnate and decrease. And it's happened in other countries, but this is the first time it's ever happened in America, I guess. And, you know, it couldn't possibly be from the fact that I saw for a next gen thing I was doing, I was speaking to a bunch of leaders, and I saw that there was a study in 2019 that said that Gen Z's attention span is literally 8 seconds.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, well, I want to know what
that couldn't possibly have anything to do with this. And the fact that we don't teach critical thinking
what
skills.
What was the test to come to the conclusion that their attention span was 8 seconds long?
I don't know. TikToks. So that's how long probably they had to like swipe before they would. And I'll tell you, you think that sounds crazy, but from doing youth ministry, I'm pretty sure it's accurate.
That's not great.
It's ridiculous. It is so hard. It is very difficult to do anything to get them following you and having a conversation. They're all over. And so you just have to roll with the tangents and then somehow bring them back and keep. It's crazy. I wonder if mom has experienced this as she's been teaching for so long, if she's noticed, like if it gets harder as the years go by, or if it's just small enough changes that she doesn't notice.
Well, we'll have her on to talk about it because it's a long time coming that mom.
That's true. She's avoided being on here.
Been on the podcast.
Yep.
I mean, everyone else has been.
Yeah. We put a recording of her voice in one time, but that's because it's a recording of Cameron saying Bob Pants or whatever.
I guess that's the only.
She's
so,
never been.
So the other.
Her voice has been.
The other person who's only been on in a recording is Cameron.
Ah, that's
the
true.
Only two people who haven't been on live is mom and Cameron. Well, wait. Courtney's was a recording. I mean, I guess all of our podcasts are recordings.
Yeah, but all of it's a recording.
Coming
okay,
to you
so not
live.
Like an explicitly, okay, so not an explicit recording. Like, mom and Cameron's wasn't explicitly done for the podcast.
Yes.
Yes.
That's true.
There you go. Oh, man.
So what were we talking about? My attention span is been getting shorter.
That was good. Ding.
But really, what were we talking about? Attention spans? Or do you want to talk about
yes.
this? Is that all we have to say about that? There's not a whole lot to expound on.
I don't have much to say. Yeah. This article in Time magazine that the headline reads, Taliban militants fed up with office culture, ready to quiet quit.
This?
It reads like satire.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I have to imagine, like, I can just imagine an SNL skit. I mean, this is a comedy bit.
You're
but
right.
It's not.
I need, and I want a Taliban version of The Office now after reading this. Some guy did make like a little video. I need more people to be making spoof videos of this.
No, I need a series. I don't want a spoof video.
Yeah.
I like a series.
I almost want to just read this and comment. So it reads, almost 2 years after the Taliban's takeover of Afghanistan, the jihadists who transitioned from the battlefields to paper-pushing government jobs in the city are ready to quiet quit. So a journalist went in what's this guy? Researcher Sabawoon Samim.
I saw that name and I knew it was going to get just absolutely destroyed.
How would you say it?
Same. Destroy it.
Sabawoon Salmon. Sabawoon Salmon. Anyway.
It's not salmon.
The researcher.
It's Samim.
Oh, yeah. Duh.
Salmon. Sabawoon Salmon. He swims upstream.
Sabawoon Samin interviewed 5 jihadists who had spent several years of their lives fighting for the Taliban. Ranged from 24 to 32, and they spent between 6 and 11 years in the Taliban. There was a commander, a sniper, a deputy, and some fighters. And his report says, broadly speaking, all of our interviewees preferred their time as fighters in what they considered a jihad. Now the men find themselves shackled with the bureaucracy of running a country as they work civilian jobs in security positions, spend too much time in traffic and on Twitter, and yearn for the tranquility of village life.
It can't be. I mean, that's not shocking, to be honest, because we see the exact same thing in soldiers. U.S. soldiers. It's the same.
That's true. That's true.
They get to the point where the adrenaline rush of a gunfight is something that they want.
Yeah.
And they have a hard time, you know, getting back into civilian life. So it's not surprising, but it's still super funny that it's the Taliban.
Right. Yes. They say that the shift to working within government structures has forced them to adhere to official rules and laws they never faced before. They find clocking in for office work tedious and almost unbearable, although some say they're now getting used to the routine. So he goes on to talk about certain things, elements of office life that they hate. And the first one is mundane office culture, which, you know, should immediately call to your mind everything in the show The Office. And then after you work in an office, that show becomes way funnier because it's super relatable. I think we can all relate to hating mundane office life if we've worked in an office.
No, never done that.
It's true. You haven't. I'm really glad to not be in a typical office life anymore. So the former fighters found themselves missing the freedom of the front lines, which I thought was interesting, as they adjusted to mundane office life. So a former sniper said, "The Taliban used to be free of restrictions, but now we sit in one place behind a desk and a computer for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Life becomes so wearisome. You do the same things every day. Never thought we could relate to the struggles of the Taliban."
Didn't they do the same thing every day when they were fighting? So here's the thing. It's not that he's doing the same thing every day. It's that he doesn't get to do the same thing every day that he wants. That he wants to do. He wants to be a sniper.
I also like that they, in their Taliban government work, they have the same issues that we have in government work. He says, "In our ministry, there's little work for me to do. Therefore, I spend most of my time on Twitter. We're connected to speedy Wi-Fi and internet." Many word that I can't pronounce. I think it means government employees, including me, are addicted to the internet, especially Twitter. So they just spend, this is like any government job where you get bored, you have nothing to do, and you just surf the web, reading stupid articles, scrolling Twitter.
What do you think the dress code is? They have like a dress code? Do they have to wear like a suit? Do they have casual Fridays?
No, they have to wear their nice robes.
Only on Fridays?
And turbans. No.
What's
they have casual Friday? You can wear your old jihadist gear.
The ones with the bullet holes that are singed a little bit.
That's casual Friday. And the more you have, the more tattered it is, like the higher status. I love. And with a 9-to-5 comes the dreaded commute and actually having to show up for the job in order to get paid. And then he's all, "You have to go to the office before 8 a.m. and stay there until 4 p.m.
Good grief.
They sound like liberal kids, little leftist kids.
"I'd volunteer as a suicide bomber to be fighting again."
Probably. They say they're kind of getting used to it now, but it was hard at first. It also comes with pressures. Government work comes with pressures and responsibilities the men did not prepare for or particularly want. They talk about how jihad was simple. Life was simple. They just had to make plans for attacks and for retreating. And then he says, people didn't expect much from us, and we had little responsibilities towards them. Whereas now, if someone is hungry, he deems us directly responsible for that. Whatever happens in Afghanistan, people blame us. Even a minority misdeed by us. Oh, minor, sorry. Even a minor misdeed by us makes it to the media that the Taliban are doing this and that. It's like the cameras in the entire world are watching us. So they don't like getting...
That's hysterical.
That's hysterical. Blame the government.
Well, I hope things get worse for them.
Accurate. The last thing they complain about also is low pay and high cost of living. Because I guess when you're a jihadist, it's religious duty and you're like exempted from everyday concerns. They just provide you what you need for and your family as well. And now they say they have to work for the survival of their families like everyone else.
Now Afghanistan.
So rough life.
Now Afghanistan is learning how beneficial war is too. Like the United States has always known. That's why we've got to get involved in everything. Like, it was better when it was war. Should we talk about, you don't have it written here anywhere, but should we talk about Trump, the indictment that doesn't exist?
Oh, yeah. How did I forget to
put that on here? Right after. It was over the weekend. Can't remember. I think it was Saturday.
Over the weekend, he put out on Truth Social that he was... thought he would be arrested on Tuesday, but the indictment never came down. But a lot of backlash as soon as that happened.
There is a grand jury, though.
People on the right and left, though, started saying, you know, this would not be good.
No, but there is a grand jury. The craziest thing about it is the violation that it is. So back before the start of Trump's campaign for 2016, he paid off what I believe to be a porn star. Is that correct? Or is it just a general named Stormy Daniels?
Nobody has a name Stormy Daniels.
To keep her...
She's a porn star.
To keep her mouth shut about previous relationships. And she didn't. And they found out about it. And it's not even about the fact that he paid her hush money. It is that they're accusing him of using... It's a campaign... fund violation, a campaign finance violation. And the thing about that is everyone I've heard says that the statute of limitations on that is 4 years. So number one, the statute of limitations is up. Number two, mm-hmm. It is a federal crime. So the fact that a New York district attorney is who is indicting him, well, filing charges, presenting it to a grand jury, is insane. But my favorite part is, even in crazy liberal New York, he cannot convince a grand jury to indict Trump. That's how absurd the charges are. I mean, that says a lot. Bongino had talked about it today. He said in his previous work, his previous involvement, he knows about grand juries. It's usually about 16 to 23 people. And he said for something like, and they look at more than one case, not just the one case. He said for something this big, they're on that upper end. They're definitely on that upper end. So let's say there's 23 of them. Only 12 of them have to decide to indict. And they can't even get that. They can't even get 12 out of possibly 23 people in New York City to indict Trump. That's how bad it is. So
they know it's completely a political.
Oh,
play.
Yeah. I don't think we'll ever see anything come of this. And now we're it's so bad that Rand Paul has called for the DA who, you know, presented these charges to be arrested.
Oh, wow.
For his abuse of the, you know, the justice system. Can't remember what the guy's name is.
Yeah, I don't know.
Brag. Something brag. Anyway, he's a loser. He's a life loser. He's the same guy who chose to bring charges against that bodega owner that stabbed that guy in self-defense.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That guy. Mm-hmm. It's that same guy.
Now, even if we never see an arrest, does this still help Trump? Because everyone was basically saying, go ahead and indict him, and you're basically electing him president. Because
I was kind of thinking for a bit when he wasn't arrested, like, oh, or at least when he first announced it, I thought to myself, maybe they just wanted Trump to say something like this and go, no, we weren't. We never did that. That's crazy. But no, they have a paper trail now because they actually presented it to a grand jury. So they can't even say that.
Right.
Trump was 100% right. They really were going to do this. Now, the other thing, which I don't know if this is going to happen, they're still talking about possibly the indictment coming. And if it does, and he gets arrested, the Secret Service, because remember, Donald Trump has Secret Service protection forever. So the Secret Service requested that his arraignment be over like Zoom or, you know, a remote arraignment. Yes. They declined that. So by doing that, you have created a serious risk to a former president because that is like a guaranteed schedule. I mean, they know where he's going to be. And his while he does have security, it's not nearly on the you know, the scale of a current sitting president. So that's already a serious problem. And let's say they did put him in a jail cell. What kind of accommodations are they going to need to make for somebody who has Secret Service protection all the time?
Yes.
The Secret Service, you have just basically jailed Secret Service agents as well because they're going to be in there with him.
Pretty much, yeah.
That is crazy.
It's crazy. Where there's like, well, I could see some people coming up with some idea. Like, the only thing I could think of is coming up with some kind of idea that once you've been committed or convicted of a crime, you would, like, lose rights. Similar to how people lose voting rights during that time or gun rights.
I mean, that's just not true. It's just not constitutionally true, though.
Yeah, and I just don't know how it's... Yeah.
Constitutionally, that is not the case. And there would have to be like a Supreme Court thing about it. And the Secret Service is allowed to basically remove the president or a former president from anything that they deem to be a risk. So the letter of the law says that the Secret Service has the right to remove him from a dangerous situation. And if that means a jail cell, then so be it.
Now, this reminds me that apparently you can even run for president not only after being convicted of crime, but while in prison. Because supposedly Joe Exotic has plans for his presidential campaign. So wouldn't that be wild if Trump was in prison? And God, this is not going to happen, but wouldn't it be wild? And people were so outraged and then he ended up getting elected. What would they do then?
I don't know. Don't assume
pardon,
that people
you
know.
Pardon yourself?
Don't assume that people know who Joe Exotic is.
Tiger King, the Tiger King guy.
Yeah, the
and if you
Netflix
don't have that, Google it.
Documentary that came out like right when COVID was hitting. And I think that's the reason
everyone watched it.
Because it was like,
I actually never watched
it.
It
was during like the first couple weeks when everyone thought, well, fine.
You're right.
Everyone's like, fine, 2 weeks,
15 days,
whatever. And when we actually thought, like, oh, this isn't going to last forever. And there was also still thoughts that, like, oh, COVID's really, really bad and everybody's dying. If you get it, it's a death sentence. That kind of stuff. So everyone, you know, abided by the rules, stayed inside, and watched Tiger King.
Yes.
And then talked about it on social media because they were all stuck inside.
Pretty much.
I mean, Tiger King was exponentially raised by COVID.
What did I watch during that time? Because it definitely wasn't Tiger King.
I don't know.
I don't remember.
Hopefully something far more beneficial.
Probably. I watched a lot of Masterpiece Theater shows on Amazon Prime. I'm about those.
I don't know what you're talking about.
They're like period pieces, like PBS, often set in Europe. He's sleeping, everyone.
You done talking about boring stuff?
We're going to have to come up with some more boring stuff to talk about right now.
I don't want to. So,
okay.
So Dad had a meeting that he had to go to tonight, so he could not make it, but he kind of expressed that all he had to donate or all he had to give to the show today was anger.
Yeah.
I definitely get that.
Is that abnormal?
No, it's not. It's definitely not, but I get that. I mean, things are certainly trending downward still. Everybody needs to be ready.
Don't listen to the Glenn Beck show from today. That definitely won't put you in a better mood.
I haven't done that yet. But I was going to.
I saw somebody, somebody tagged him in like an Instagram story and then he put it on his. And it was a clip of him. And then it said, "The older I get, the less crazy Glenn Beck is." And then he was like, "Thank you," I think. But yeah.
Everybody has gotten, well, okay. Everyone on the right that is even considered on the right has gotten less crazy. Even Alex Jones.
I knew that's what you were going to say. I mean,
Jones,
he's still kind of crazy.
He's still a little bit crazy.
Yeah.
But man, did he say a lot of things that I thought, I thought that dude was just cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. And way too many of the things he said has been real. Now, did he go a little bit too far with the Sandy Hook thing? Probably.
Oh, a lot of it.
Wasn't he like the Comet Pizza guy? Wasn't he like the
Pizzagate,
sex slaves in the dungeon of
child
a pizza
sex
place?
Ring. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I've heard him say that the Nazis had a base on the moon or something back during World War II. I don't know. I've heard definitely heard somebody say that before. I don't know if it was him. But he seems pretty reasonable now. He was on the last 2 days in, they say, sitting in third chair on Steven Crowder's show. And he's out of control, but he's not wrong about everything.
Mm-hmm.
He's also woken up a little bit to, you know, he was a big-time Trump fanatic. He sees a little bit of downside to Trump now. He doesn't understand why he's attacking DeSantis. He thought that, you know, his biggest mistake was his handling of the COVID vaccine. And
I think both Trump and Alex Jones are probably narcissists. So.
Oh, yeah. But so, and you can only recognize narcissism in someone else. So that's why Alex Jones can see. everybody seems to be, everyone that I thought was a real conspiracy theorist is, I used to just think that Glenn Beck was just, for a long time, I had listened
to
him.
I used to think he was pretty out there, conspiracy.
I had listened to him for a long time. And there was a time in my life at like, you know, during college when I wasn't going to class. What I was doing when I wasn't going to class was sitting in my car and listening to,
Rush Limbaugh.
I listened to Glenn Beck, 9 to 12, Rush Limbaugh from 12 to 3, Sean Hannity from 3 to 6, and Mark Levin from 6 to 9.
Yes.
12
Hannity used to be on when
hours.
I left work. I used to listen to Mark Levin, too.
12 hours I would just listen to this. And I listened to Glenn Beck for a long time, and then for a long time I did not, because he was just so melodramatic. Everything he said was the end of the world.
Well, I thought that, too.
Well, it pretty much is. And is he's definitely an emotional guy. But he's not wrong.
Okay, I could listen to Mark Levin for, you know, a decent amount of time, but then I just can't take this anymore.
Yeah, you're just screaming at callers. The best thing about the Mark Levin show is that he has the two different phone numbers. He advertises the two different phone numbers. If you're a liberal, call in at this number. We want to talk to you. It's the same phone number, but he just says it different. Like, whatever, like, okay, let's just say, like, 1234, for instance. He'd be like, oh, you know, 1-800-1234. For liberals, we have our hotline, our liberal hotline, 1-800-1234, or whatever.
Okay, someone else that maybe at some points as a young person getting into this world of politics, political commentary that went, you know, maybe a little too far, said some things, was Lauren Southern. But I've always liked Lauren Southern. And I she did a video. She's like back in Canada now. That's where she's from. And she just put a video out the other day, today or yesterday, that's all this proof that, and this stuff going on in Canada, that they have all this evidence that China, of China infiltrating with these people and swaying, trying to rigging Canadian elections to have Justin Trudeau elected and all these links. And then they're bringing it up in parliament and wanting to start questioning people. And then the left, whatever that party is, actually filibustered to prevent the Conservative Party from trying to call like witnesses to get to the point of like bringing people in to question people about this.
Yeah, but how are you gonna stop like Rebel News from broadcasting all of that? And here's the other thing. Let's say we get a Republican president back in charge and we find out that China is really pulling strings in Canada, setting things up. Canada has started doing joint training, joint military operations with China. What did I say first? Canada? Canada's been doing joint operations with China and stuff like that. If we have a Republican president and that risk is legitimately there, I am actually not opposed to invading a country for once. That is absolutely that is our national security. Those are the few times where I think we should actually get involved in something like that when it directly affects our national security. I'm not opposed to invading Canada if that were really going on
if there's evidence, there's paperwork. I mean,
yeah, I totally believe I totally believe it. They're way too close. They're way too buddy buddy. And the other thing is, China apparently voiced their opposition to us sending nuclear subs to Australia for the first time. And I thought to myself, why? I mean, China is so into Australia.
Yes, true.
So I was like, why would they care?
They think that it would make them beholden to us or something. I don't know.
No, I wouldn't.
They only want people to be beholden to them.
Yes. Now, that's the other thing, is it may not make them beholden to us at all, but it may make them independent from China. And that might be China doesn't like.
Go. Yeah.
It wouldn't necessarily make them our slaves, but it would free them from, you know, Chinese control.
I was just wonder how this meshes with, because clearly China's got, you know, one world government in mind, but the Chinese Communist
involved
Party.
With no. How so does, like all the other countries, they have like a cabal going on, and it's
right. How does that mesh with what's happening in Davos? And
not at all. Yeah, it's like a separate scheme.
They don't say anything though.
Of course they don't. They don't want to tell people.
Yeah,
they're China's playing the long game. Their goal for their one world government is probably like 1,000 years from now, and they have the whole thing mapped out.
Well, I won't be here for it. Here is a story. So World Baseball Classic just ended. Japan won. They won the first two, and then US won the last one. Japan won again, back on top. And it couldn't have ended. I mean, you couldn't have asked for a better ending with Ohtani on the mound and Trout at the plate, and USA is down one, and they are two outs.
Whoa.
Ohtani struck out Trout.
MLB players play in this?
Yeah, a bunch.
And we
this
lost?
This year, way more than... Yeah, we didn't have pitchers, was the big one. Japan has a really good baseball.
Yes, I know they do. But we're the United States.
We had a crazy
because,
all-star
well, here's the thing.
Batting lineup.
We've got to stop calling that the World Series.
If Japan's beating us?
Yeah.
But their best players come out well.
Are?
Actually, they only
They don't
only
have
had,
that many.
No, okay, so two. So Ohtani and Darvish were starting pitching. And then there's one guy who just signed with the Red Sox, who was in the lineup, and he was pretty key for them. There's another pitcher who's young, that played for Japan that will be in America within a few years. So they typically just don't come over until later.
Hmm. I'm just saying, like...
Oh, they had another one. Lars Nootbaar played for them also, so they had another major leaguer in their lineup. But yeah, definitely Lars? Less than the U.S. Lars Nootbaar. He's not Japanese. I think his mom must be Japanese.
He's like German or Austrian or something. His name is Lars.
He has like a little bit of an Asian look to him. I think his mom must be Japanese or something.
I guess.
So, but all this to say, pretty crazy ending with Ohtani striking out Trout. However, the fact that they were the captains of those two teams, they both were the flag carriers before the game, and they're both Angels, and the Angels are, again, probably going to be a 500 team, is really upsetting. But Team Cuba, they made it to the semifinals, and they got absolutely, the U.S. just absolutely destroyed them. But this was the first year that Cuba let some of the guys who were in the MLB that are Cuban play for them, but only those who hadn't, if they had been vocal about criticizing the government of Cuba, they were not invited. So there were some MLB players. And then some guys in the U.S. chose, like, I don't want to play for Cuba. I came here to get away. So anyway, after the game, the next day at like 6 a.m., the team goes to the airport for their flight back to Cuba. Well, one of the catchers, like a backup bullpen catcher, doesn't show up. He left. He defected to the U.S. From Team Cuba, took this as an opportunity and didn't show up for the flight home.
So he was not an MLB player already.
No. He's not even that, like, a big name. But everybody here was like, yeah, good for you.
Yeah. I mean, you can't go back.
I have mixed emotions because I think it's cool.
Okay.
But also, you know, I don't necessarily want people just coming to America without... But Cuba is a little different.
He better hope that... I mean, I hope that he has no family.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's going to be a problem. I could never... the only reason I could not do it is, like, if my parents or I was married and my family still lived there. Yes, that's a really good opportunity to not go back. But your family's dead.
Hopefully they were able to get here to watch.
That could be the only way. Like, let's say I were talking to somebody. Were talking to the CIA or whoever and said I wanted to defect and I was here just for this game and I had been able to get in contact. I would tell them that the minute that you tell me that these people are out of Cuba, I will leave, but not until then. And again, the other thing is, does he have useful information?
I know. Oh, I don't know.
Because,
I mean, I'm glad for him getting out of Cuba.
But at the same time, why are we just letting people in for no reason? Are we just letting people defect from Cuba? Because if that's the case, why don't we just bring every single person from Cuba over here too?
Right.
Like they already are from Mexico.
Well, we only want them if they, you know, are here because they recognize that Cuba's terrible and they want different. They are going to vote for the right things, freedom. And Miami is where it was. And they have, you know, the largest Cuban population in America.
Yeah.
Cuban-American population. So people were pretty
Cuba's
like,
actually
supportive.
Crazy for letting their baseball team even go there.
Yeah.
That's shocking. Yeah, you can go to Miami.
Well, they very much wanted to, because they've been known. They pride themselves, like, we're the best baseball. We produce the best.
Yeah, but you're
going to
let them go hang out with a bunch of Cubans that already did run away from Cuba?
Yeah, they want to. That is a good point.
Be like, you're
going to
go back?
I wonder if that backfired.
They're like, you're going to go back? Probably someone just talked that catcher into not going back. He probably didn't even have plans to do that when he first went there.
Look at this car that you rode here in from the airport. Notice how it's 50 years newer than the cars in Cuba. It's like walking into a time capsule when you see stuff like pictures of Cuba.
Speaking of like immigration stuff, did you see that like dozens of Chinese nationals were apprehended at the southern border and then released?
I did.
And then released to an NGO in Texas? They just let them off this bus, just filed them into this building. And with court dates that I guarantee they won't show up for.
Yeah, they don't show up for.
We have so many sleeper cells in this country.
Yeah, I was going to say, they wonder how the CPC has police stations in the U.S.
they are absolutely positioning themselves. Even if they don't do something, they have the personnel here to do it. And at a moment's notice, these cells are going to go active.
Okay, this is what happened in Canada. They had this massive influx of Chinese people that didn't assimilate and then were leveraged by the Chinese government to rig these elections. But when I worked in the Navy, it blew me away how many people I worked with that had secret security clearances were straight from China. And I mean, they background checked them, but I'm like somebody. I mean, I wouldn't think it'd be very hard for Chinese people with still allegiances to China to get in those positions. And we know it's happening. And not to say that I think that my specific coworkers were CPC plants. Oh, did you... Did you get the Fox News alert that it was North Korea, right? That said they had like 800,000 people join the army in one day to fight the U.S.?
What?
Let me see.
They don't even have that. Hold on. They don't have that many people they can walk anymore.
Maybe it was.
They're all so malnourished. They couldn't sign their name on a piece of paper that says that they were going to join the military.
Yes. Okay, that's what it is. North Korea claims almost 800,000 people... have signed up for its military to fight the U.S. Where's this? Oh, is it one day after North Korea fired a ballistic missile into the sea between South Korea and Japan? Supposedly some of them sought to re-enlist, not enlist for the first time, but the soaring, and this is a quote from the state-run newspaper, the soaring enthusiasm of young people to join the army is a demonstration of the unshakable will of the younger generation to mercilessly wipe out the war maniacs making last-ditch efforts to eliminate our precious socialist country and achieve the great cause of national reunification without fail and a clear manifestation of their ardent patriotism.
North Korean troops would get demolished by farmers in the United States.
Yes.
Just farmers. Just running them over with pickup trucks and shooting them with rifles. I mean, like hunting rifles from just like way farther off. They're going to bring like their terrible AKs with iron sights and some farmer with a .30-06 and a halfway decent scope from like 500 yards away is just going to start shooting them. They're not going to know where it's coming from. That would be terrible. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
This was supposedly, this was in response to the U.S. and South Korea beginning joint military drills last week, or a couple weeks ago, because the story's from last week. But there's a picture in here that of like North Korean military members with Kim Jong. Which one are we on?
Un. Yeah. Even though that sounds like one in other languages, it's not. He's like the third.
So, but I'm dying because there's a picture.
Kim Jong. So all you guys are. Kim Jong Duh is next.
These guys are all in military uniforms. And then on the right in the front, there's like one commander guy, but one person in. There's a guy in an outfit. And the hat looks exactly like the hot dog on a stick hats. And I don't understand what his role is and why he's in this picture. And he's wearing like a shiny blue jumpsuit.
Kim Jong-un saw one time like a movie about like an old king who had a court jester. And he's like, I like that. Like. That's a good idea. Made me laugh, funny man. And so he put this stupid hat on him and he falls around everywhere.
That's legitimately what he looks like.
Yeah, it's a court jester. It's a North Korean court jester. Also, he does make corn dogs, but not because the hat. Just unrelated. Kim Jong-un
and
just likes corn dogs.
They have good lemonade.
Yeah. No, they don't because they don't have lemons.
In North Korea.
Yeah. Like, you know that when life gives you lemons, make lemonades?
Yeah.
Well.
And they don't have lemons.
No. It's even worse. They can't even get lemon. And they definitely don't have sugar.
Oh, my goodness.
They got rice.
Can you imagine? If you need to look at this picture and imagine people, those guys invading.
Oh, my favorite thing is.
The guys in the jumpsuit.
My favorite thing is watching the legitimate videos that they've put out of their military training. And it's hysterical. But they think that it's like
China just walk in there and say,
I don't know.
Yours.
I don't know, actually. That's a pretty good question.
You don't want to, the casual, I guess, just why waste your time and potentially lose
casualties?
Anybody? I mean, you're going to have some.
I don't know if they'd fire a shot.
You're going to have.
They'd be like, all right, it's only a matter of time. No, but their videos are very funny watching them train, because they really think that they're like an intimidation tactic. They'll put these videos up and look how tough we are. Look at our training. It is crazy. It's so dumb.
Who thinks that? Obviously the people who aren't, they're super censored, you know, they don't see anything of the U.S. So they very well, they have no idea. They may think this is intimidating. But Kim Jong-un has to know that it's not.
No, he has to.
It's only for morale. It's only for
either that, or he's as delusional as transgenders.
Well, yes. Well, he golfed in 18.
That was his dad.
He shot at 18.
That was his dad. He shot an 18. But I once saw a YouTube video. It was pretty funny, of a North Korean defector who was in the military, and the video was about was them talking about what the state of North Korea's military. And they said, I saw a guy on there say that the war between the United States and North Korea might not last a day. And he was in the North Korean military. He's like, they don't have any of this stuff. They're like, they would show them videos of our like aircraft and our artillery and our tanks and stuff like that, and they're like, so how do you think that North Korea would do against the United States? And they're like, not good, not good at all.
Everything you see in those little parades, that's literally
got. Yeah. Like the war would be over before they got those semi-truck trailers with the rockets on them lifted up and pointed in the right direction.
So I heard an interview, there's a gal who defected from, she escaped North Korea, and she's written a couple books now, and I heard her a couple weeks ago on Megyn Kelly's podcast, and it is so moving, her story. She talks about getting out and how the traffickers, and then she gets to China, and then she gets stuck, basically, to get out of North Korea, then the traffickers that like got her out, that they paid to get them out, then sold them into slavery, sex slavery in China, and then she had to escape from that with the help of some missionaries, got to South Korea, and then anyway, had to work her way here. And it's wild. And you would think that this would be the kind of story that, you know, the media would want to put everywhere, except that she, you know, is vocal about all the things that she sees in America that are terrible and remind her of things in North Korea, and they hate that. And then also, because she would criticize China, they don't want her on either, because she like was telling this story to, like, she got invited one time to, I forget who it was, but there's these big wigs and like actors and stuff there. They're like, you know, Tom Cruise and somebody else, right? And she like shares her story, and they're so moved, and they say like, what could we do? Like, what can we do to help this kind of thing? And she says, well, speak out, like talk to people, you know, speak out against the government, tell them to stop with this, like the trafficking and what's going on in China, because they hear her story about sex trafficking and they're like, oh, we could never do that. We could never say anything negative about China. And then at one point, somebody contacted her to make her story into a movie, and they give her the script. And in the script, she, when they get to China, they make it out like it's like this promised land and everything was great and they like took care of her. And she's like, yeah, I can't allow you to do this. And they're like, well, this is the only way that we could get your movie made.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
Yes. And it, like in reality, she went from one horror to, you know, maybe an even worse horror. Because
no, it's not worse.
She wasn't sex. It's
no. It's not worse.
It's pretty horrible. She saw, okay, the traffickers, if you have any little ears around, this is the time to cover them. The traffickers, when they were moving, I don't remember at what point it was, maybe getting into China, but this trafficker was going to rape her. She was young and a virgin, clearly. And then her mom basically stood up for her, said, no, please don't leave my daughter alone. Like, you can do anything you want to me. Rapes her mom in front of her, because also thinking, I can also get more money if this girl's a virgin when I sell her. And her mom the whole time is like crying out, like, don't, like, turn around, don't look, close your eyes, all this stuff. And she hears and, like, sees her mom getting raped. And this is also her introduction. She doesn't know anything about, she's pretty young. So this is the first time she, like, even knows anything. She didn't even know what was going on. She didn't really know anything about sex. This is, like, her introduction. Then she gets sold into sex slavery. And same, like, the first time that, you know, she gets raped, she has no, really not know what's going on, what's happening to her. And it's really it's horrifying. That was her experience in China. But then she ended up being able to buy her freedom. I think her own freedom. I know. Yeah. Crazy.
I'm going to increase shooting lessons for the girls this summer, I think. Everyone.
Not a bad idea.
I wish we could send them guns. By the way, that should be the answer when Hollywood says, how can we help? What can we do? And she'd be like, well, you can speak out against China, or you could give us guns. And they'd be like, oh, no, we can't do that. Guns are bad. And be like, well, are guns bad when you shoot bad people with the guns?
Because this kind of stuff can never happen to an armed populace.
No, it could not. Can you imagine if, like, fathers there had access to guns?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they would just be slaughtering sex traffickers.
Yep.
I mean, that's what happens most of the time. It's like kids in the United States that get trafficked and stuff like that. They have parents that don't watch them or seem to care about them, or they're kids who, like, end up in the foster care system. That's the vast majority of kids that just go missing and nobody ever says anything.
Yep. It's very sad.
That couldn't happen.
That's why you say, like, they look for kids that, you know, aren't taken care of. And that's why our Aunt Lynn, she posted on Facebook, she was making dresses that they're going to put in the, you know, the Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes that go around the world. Because if the traffickers see a girl in, like, a nice dress like that, like a well-made, you know.
Yeah, they assume someone cares about them.
They will leave them alone because they assume that, So that's pretty cool. So speaking of guns, Scheels is having a sale right now on, like, all gun stuff, right? I told you this. I sent you that safe. It's an 18-gun safe, and it's, like, it's tall, pretty good. It's a $700 safe, 3 locking bars, at least. It's about right at 14-gauge steel, is what you said, like, the minimum. And it was on sale, $200 off, so $500. And then we had, like, looked online, and then there were some we could order it. But then we all of a sudden yesterday it had disappeared from the website. The sale ends I think today. So I called yesterday and I was like, hey, I saw this wasn't on your website. Do you have any more sale in store? We're like, well, we at least have the floor model. And so I said, okay, so I should probably, like, come in today. So I went in. Sure enough, that was the only one they had, was the floor model. So I'm talking to the guy, and then I see, like, as I asked him, I said, would there be anything for, like, because it's the floor model, and then there's, like, this big, there was a big scratch on the side. And I said, it's got this scratch on the side that we could, like, knock it down. And when the gal, she saw how big the scratch was, she's like, oh, that's, because it's, like, kind of goes pretty much all the way across it. But it doesn't, you know, it still works as a safe.
It's on the side. If you put it if you put it in the right corner, you might not even see it.
Yeah, I never even see it. They knocked another $100 off. So we got this $700 safe for $400.
I thought it was $300. You said it was $400.
The sale it was five. It was two. So $4.99. It was $4.99 with the sale. Okay. So $3.99. Yeah, the original cost is $6.99. So I just pretty good deal. Pretty happy about that. What are you showing me about that?
I've moved into the world of 300 blackout.
Oh.
Yeah, not the whole thing, just the upper.
Okay.
The lower on this is still the lower off my another gun that I had, but the upper is just the upper is new. Mm-hmm. Even all these, the optic iron sights.
What's the barrel length on that?
7. Like your AR.
There's a lot going on. Yeah, I was going to say, it looks like it was hilarious. We had one of the youth kids, like, stayed with us one night, and we were showing him stuff, and then we told him, like, this is technically a pistol. He was like, what?
Probably shouldn't put that in the podcast.
That our youth
kid
was staying with us,
guns.
And showed him guns. No, He's older. His his family has guns.
Have this gun.
He has shotguns. Cole was obviously telling him, using it as every, you know, gun safety.
Whoa, hey, along the lines of your, you know, thing with the Lauren Southern, whatever, and they have all the documents and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Hashtag Trudeau Chinese asset is trending on Twitter. Hashtag Trudeau Chinese asset.
Yes. Good. There you go.
Which, by the way, means that two of the three presidents in North America are Chinese assets. Well, prime minister. But, you know, the leader of their, of their countries are Chinese assets, because so is Biden.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Hey, did he go to the theater with Hillary and Hillary's daughter?
I wish he would have gone to the theater with...
Why cannot think of...
Abraham Lincoln.
Don't say that. Okay, no, but did you read this or hear the story that Hillary and her daughter went to the theater in New York and then someone pooped in the aisle
next to them?
Near them, like next to them?
Hilarious.
But it turns out maybe it wasn't like a targeted thing, that apparently someone's been doing this, which is also super weird. Like, what's going on?
Better wipe it up like with a cloth. Like with a cloth? She could wipe that floor.
Wipe the computer.
She could wipe that floor like she wiped her servers.
Wipe those.
You're going to need more than bleach bit to clean that up.